Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Film for Fans podcast, the podcast from movie fans for movie fans. I am your host, Ryan Dunley. That is my co-host, Rob Dunning.
And unfortunately, a Penguins fan at the moment. We'll see if that changes, but right now it's unfortunate circumstances. Wow.
I feel so bad for you. Oh, man.
No, I'm sure you do.
That's rough.
Hey, at least our players are cheap shouting your players the other game for no reason, so we got that going for us. Which is nice.
Well, in fairness, your players have always done that, but hey.
Yeah.
It's
don't punch the guy in the face who you're not even talking to. Just because you feel like, about that. Let's not do that.
Yeah, good times in the hockey playoff world. It's a fun one.
Yeah, if you want to see some drama outside of the movie sphere, hockey playoffs are a good place to go, for sure.
And the way the NHL has the playoffs set up, you're almost guaranteed to play a rival in the first round. So first round matchups are crazy.
Anyway, this is not a hockey rivalry podcast.
It is not.
It is co-hosted by two hockey rivals.
It is true. As a Flyers fan, that's definitely true. However, it is a movie podcast. We've got an excellent show for you. We will cover the box office from last weekend. We will give you a few highlights of stuff coming out this coming weekend. And for our discussion this week, we're going to talk Steven Spielberg. We're going to do a director's edition where we each rank our own personal favorites of Steven Spielberg's best five movies. We'll also give you one that we think is underrated and one that we think is overrated. So we'll jump into that. And of course, we will conclude with our watch list, movies we've watched over the last week or two. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, let's jump straight into the box office. Number one for the third week in a row, Super Mario Galaxy. Super Mario Galaxy made $36.49 million, and it has grossed a total of $356.7 million. Massive, massive amounts of money just rolling in the dough for Super Mario Galaxy. We had speculated whether there would be as big an audience for this one as there was for the first one. Yeah. Number two for the second week in a row, Project Hail Mary, in its fifth week in the box office, and it raked in $20.5 million, which is a great total 5 weeks in. It has done a total of $285.1 million. Interestingly enough, it actually gained three theaters this past week. Interesting. Partially also because they announced they're going to extend the theatrical run on Project Hail Mary. But the only new entrant in the box office this week is number three comes in Lee Cronin's The Mummy, did $13.5 million in its opening week. Number four was The Drama, and that did $4.8 million in its third week in the box office, $39.6 million. Stacking up there. And number five, you have You, Me, and Tuscany. And its second week in the box office did $3.8 million. That's a $14.4 million 2 week total. So lot that we could cover here. Where do you want to go with this one?
I think I want to start with that number for The Drama is very impressive. Yeah. I just saw the movie, so I'm going to talk about it in the watch list. But it is very much not like a big box office movie at all.
Yeah.
It's A24. So big hit for A24. It's very focused
stars, but that's
Very, very focused on the two stars. But it is very much, as the title would indicate, a drama.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really have a super weird twist like a lot of A24 movies do. It's just a very deep exploration of interpersonal dynamics and issues. And it's just I'm impressed by that amount. I'm a little surprised by it, having seen the movie. I really like the movie, but having seen the movie, I didn't think it was one that would make a lot of money. So that's got to be a good result for them for that.
Sure. My kind of surprise is Lee Cronin's The Mummy, just because I feel like anytime you have to put the name of the person who's making the movie in front of the movie title, the likelihood of it succeeding is not high. But I guess in some sense, when you're naming your film The Mummy, it's going to be really hard not to get it confused with the popular late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. And this is a much different movie than any of the previous mummies, so I can see
Very different.
why it was called that. I saw this one as well, and also we'll talk about that in the watch list.
Yes, indeed. Project Hail Mary, man. I'm enjoying the fact that it's doing well, and I'm very much enjoying the fact that it's gone super well. It's gone better than expected, and the fact that people still love this movie and still want to go see it is awesome. And I've now seen it three times, and
Yeah, I can't wait for its honorable mention Best Picture nomination when the Oscars come around next year.
yeah, the whole we'll give it the obligatory pick and then never vote for it, even though
Yeah.
it'd be the best movie. Well, it might be the best movie, but there's a pretty good movies coming out later, so.
Yeah, right now it's number one on my list. I have a strong suspicion that Dune 3, The Odyssey, and some others may overtake it. But we'll see.
Yeah, I suspect it will be in the mix with Dune 3 and the Odyssey for me. We'll see. We'll
I
see.
mean, also, we're talking about Steven Spielberg today. I'm more and more I see about Disclosure Day, the more and more excited I am about it. And I also think that's going to be very high for me when I see it. So,
Yeah, it will be interesting for sure. For sure. Any other thoughts on the box office from last week?
I do not have many other thoughts.
Okay. Now we'll give you a couple of movies that are coming out this coming week. And we'll talk. There's one big movie and a couple of smaller ones. One of the smaller ones is Over Your Dead Body, starring Jason Segel, Samara Weaving, Timothy Olyphant, Juliette Lewis. And it's rated R, 1 hour, 45 minutes, comedy, mystery, thriller type movie. Synopsis is a man and his wife head to a secluded cabin to repair their damaged relationship, not knowing that each secretly plans to kill the other.
If you haven't seen the trailer for this, it looks absolutely hilarious.
Yes, it does. another one. Well, let's just go with since for the sake of time here, let's go with the big release of this week. The big release of this week is, of course, Michael. That's right. The biopic of Michael Jackson debuts this weekend. And it is PG-13. It is 2 hours and 7 minutes in runtime. The story of the famous musician Michael Jackson, known as the King of Pop. That's all you get in terms of what the story is about, but you kind of get the picture. Jafar Jackson is the one playing Michael Jackson in this particular film. Miles Teller is also in this one as well, if you are interested in that. And it will feature plenty of Michael Jackson music, of course. And there are a million showtimes for this movie.
Yeah, from what I read about this before coming out, a little more information is that it focuses on the recording, I believe, of the album Bad.
Yes.
So that will be like the main crux of the movie. And then there'll obviously be a lot of pre stuff and post that stuff, I'm sure. But that's like the main driving focus of the story, from what I understand.
Yeah. How, in terms of the recent music biopics, is this one have you more excited, less excited, planning to see it, not planning?
I wouldn't. I mean, I would say I'm about as excited as I have been for most of them. Which, the only one I would say that I was a little more excited about maybe going into was the Bob Dylan one. But I am interested in this. I will be going to see this. Just because I, personal life aside, like, there's no debating that whether you like the music or not, Michael's one of the most influential artists of all time. So I really am interested in seeing some more of the story. And what I'm interested in beyond that, and this was the same way as the Bob Dylan one, I want to see what their interpretation of the story is, and then I want to like do some reading research and see where it lines up with what reality was. So that's always the fascinating part about these kind of movies for me.
It's interesting because by the time I was really familiar with Michael Jackson was like when he started becoming the cartoonish version of himself. I mean, and we're talking like the end of like his high reign and the start of his kind of descent. I think of him as a kid growing up, mainly I thought of him as from the Free Willy song that he did, like the main theme song to the movie Free Willy. And the music video from that was like the main thing I knew him from when I was a kid. But I had a coworker that I worked with at a warehouse a number of years ago who would regularly play a couple of his albums. And I'm like, you know what? These are actually pretty good. And so I came to appreciate his some of his earlier stuff and the quality of the musicianship and the creative arts. And there's no doubt that he was, I mean, he's one of the top-selling artists of all time for a reason. Has one of the top-selling albums of all time for a reason. So it will be fascinating to see this. Most of the biopics have been music biopics have been of musicians that I'm intrigued with, but not ones that I am like, oh my gosh, I'm such a big fan. And this would fall into that same category. So I will definitely go see it and be interested to see if from that standpoint. So yeah.
Yeah, I think one of my big memories of him from the when I was growing up was when he did the Super Bowl halftime show and like appeared on top of the scoreboard in Pasadena. Oh, I remember that. And he kind of set a standard for like what Super Bowl halftime shows should be with that. And I don't know if they're going to go into that at all, but it was just kind of an example of the crazy showmanship that he had his entire career.
I will say the actor who's playing him and the voice he's using to try and replicate Mike's voice, man, 2 hours of that might be a little rough for me.
Sure.
So we'll see. But yeah, I would say that I will am planning to go see this at some point for sure. All right. Anything else on this week's coming box office?
No, but I am interested in seeing both the ones we mentioned, so I
Yeah.
might have to do a double feature this week at some point.
I'm looking forward to getting back to the theaters. I've been spending all of my time running the last number of
And
years. So I haven't had time to go very often.
just like Forrest Gump, now you have stopped.
Now I have stops. Now I got a couple weeks off for recovery. So hopefully I can fill that time with movies now.
Or your family, whatever.
Well, actually, the reality is, I have been seeing movies with my family, but it's all been Project Hail Mary because I've been going with various family members to see Project Hail Mary. So I've been to the
That's
theater.
worthwhile. I can't argue that.
I just haven't seen something I haven't already seen, which I
Yeah.
mean, I've seen it 3 times now and I loved it every time. So
All
worth it. Totally. All righty then. Well, let's move on to our discussion for the evening. And it is one of our director series where we take a closer look at a director who's produced quite a bit and talk about our favorite movies and rank them. So we're going to do a top five. We're going to do an overrated. We're going to do underrated. Do you have any initial comments or initial thoughts about Steven Spielberg before we jump into our lists?
My initial comment is looking at his filmography and going, holy crap.
Yeah.
The sustained quality of his work is insane. And there are a few movies on the list, honestly, that I read and I was like, oh, he directed that. Like, Like, I just, I somehow forgot, like, Ready Player One, for instance, and a couple others that was him. But what I think I've seen in that is he has proven himself to be someone who has a certain sense and feel of how he wants to make movies, but he's also adapted over time to be able to make different kinds of movies. And the thing that I'm going to point out with my list is I think that he has made like the movie in a couple different subgenres, or like trendsetter movies, like movies that define a certain section of movies, if that makes sense. I think there's a few of them on the list, and there are some movies that didn't make my top five that are all-time greats and absolutely deserving of being in the top five, but this is my list, so that's why they're not. But there, when there are enough movies that there could probably be an argument for any number of 15 separate movies to be in somebody's top five. That's when you know the guy's a good
For
director.
sure. For sure. Absolutely. And that's kind of where it's interesting on that is there's so many different and even different genres, different eras, different, you know, you have pre-CGI, post-CGI, sci-fi, dramas, comedies, like he's all over the place. And I think in some ways it's kind of a it's kind of almost a testament to his directing that there's some movies that you didn't realize he directed. So that's kind of cool. All right. Without any further ado, let's jump into our list. So, Rob, do we want to do the overrated, underrated, or we do want to do our top first?
We can do the overrated and underrated first.
All right. So give me your underrated. What movie of his?
My underrated, I kind of define underrated as like underappreciated, because like I think that it was rated as a fairly decent movie, but I don't think it is viewed in the same light as a lot of his other movies. And that one for me is The Terminal. I think it is one of the best movies I've seen that is mainly set in one place. Now you can argue a lot of that is due to Tom Hanks and his performance, but the director's job is to figure out how to get the best out of the actor in the performance and how best to utilize the settings that he has, how best to mold the scripts to make it an engaging movie. And on its face, like, this shouldn't be an engaging movie. Like, if you just like had it described to you, you'd be like, well, that sounds dumb. And then you watch it and you're done, you're like, oh no, I have feelings now. Like, it is, I would say that it's a what just it's just way better than it deserves to be. And I think that he deserves a lot of the credit for that. That being said, I don't think it's like it's not at the level of the ones I have in my top five, personally, but I think it's a great movie.
So I had for my underrated, I had The Terminal also. And for a lot of the same reasons, it's just a really, really good film. But for the sake of interest in the podcast, I will switch up my underrated to another one that I thought about putting in that category, and that's Munich from 2005. It's the movie that he made about the aftermath of the Munich Olympics, where terrorists took the Israeli res Israeli wrestling team hostage and ended up killing a number of them. And it's basically about the specific retribution that some undercover agents took in order to kind of get back at the the guys who pulled off this terrorist attack. So Eric Bana stars in that. Daniel Craig is also in it. Ciarán Hinds is in it. It's a really good film. It's a tough film. It's kind of a spy film. It's kind of a historical film. It's based off of some true stories. It's not fully that, but it's a really interesting film, and it's highly underrated because it's really well done, and I think not a lot of people have seen it, and not a lot of people are familiar with it. All right, Rob, give me your overrated.
Should come as no surprise to anyone who is a fan of the podcast that my overrated Steven Spielberg movie is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and it is overrated because any sentient, rational human being would spend a single cent on this film, thereby makes it overrated. And I include myself in that because I was dumb enough to buy a ticket to this movie, and I will never stop regretting it. And any opportunity I have to throw more dirt on its grave, I will do with pleasure. So sorry, Steven. I mean, you've made like so many good movies, and you've made one movie that makes me question your sanity, and your faculties as a human.
Yep. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is to Rob what the Avatar movies are to me. And and
Maybe the
sorry.
aliens in Disclosure Day will be the same ones from the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and then I will, we'll have some closure there, maybe.
It's the same universe. Oh man. For me, my overrated is Jaws. I know it's a classic. I know everyone likes it. I know it's supposedly this great film. When I watched Jaws, I was like, oh, I was anticipating this being like the greatest thing ever. And it just wasn't. Like, there's just not a lot that happens for long stretches of this movie. I think in some cases, sometimes movies get hurt by reputations where you don't see something in the era that it was groundbreaking and that it was original and that it was known for, and then it builds up a big reputation, and then the era kind of passes it by, and when you go back to it, you're like, really? And I think Jaws suffers from some of that, especially for me on this front. So yeah.
I mean, Jaws is not my top five, but what I will say about it is that it literally spawned an entire subgenre of movies, which is the shark movie. And
Yeah, I mean, you would not have Sharknado without it.
it was genuinely terrifying when it came out to people who went to it in the theater from all kinds of accounts that I've heard. Like, it was just a different kind of thing that people were not used to. It scared people from going to the ocean. Like, it was legitimately a big cultural moment. So
There's no debating its cultural impact. It is a massive, massive cultural impact. I think the movie itself is just a little overrated.
there's a so I think it was last year, maybe there was an anniversary of this movie, and I listened to Mad Dog Sports Radio quite a bit, and he often will talk about culture and movies and music and stuff. So he had several people on interviewing them about the anniversary of Jaws, and just hearing a lot of the background story about how the main actors like despised each other and like some other stuff about the movie made it a little more intriguing to me. Like, there was a lot more backstory about why it was such a big deal, how it impacted people. And I mean, there were lots of people calling in talking about it. So there's no doubt that it made an impact. But I will agree with you that there's a reason it's not in my top five either, because I was not there in the moment. And there are some movies that are very time locked. I'm sure the people who like love this movie would argue that it's not, but I think it's hard to argue that it's not. I think it is very much a movie of its moment.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. All right, let's get to our list. Give me let's do two at a time. Give me your number five and number four.
Okay, so my number five is actually Munich, because I just love this movie, and I actually haven't seen it in quite a while, so I need to watch it again. But like you said, it is about the Mossad agents going to basically assassinate 11 members of the Palestinian rebels that took these Israelis hostage at the Olympics. And it's high up on my list because it is very much a taught, like, psychological kind of thing. It's not just action for action's sake. Like, there's a lot of emotion
Yeah.
involved in the movie, a lot of, doubting, wondering, how does this align with what I believe? How does this align with how we treat our fellow man? But, like, also, these people deserve to have, vengeance taken for them, and someone has to do it. And it's an intense movie. It's a very intense movie.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason why I haven't seen it since since I saw it the first time. Because I was like, oh man, that was, it's not an easy movie to watch.
No.
I'll say that. It's probably not going to be on the top five for many people because of that. But I really enjoyed it because of the kinds of movies that I enjoy. That being said, my number four could not be any more opposite than that. My number four is Hook. Because I think Hook is my favorite adaptation of the Peter Pan story.
Yeah, it's
And
really.
it's just fun. It's just fun. Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman, everyone involved in it is just fun.
Yeah.
You can tell that they're enjoying doing what they're doing. And it's cool. It stands on that very thin line between absurd and corny, but I don't think it ever quite gets corny. Like, it's a really good family movie, and those are so hard to do for a live action movie.
Yeah.
And I think it might be one of the best. And I think that it's an incredible achievement for him as a director to be able to make that kind of movie, personally.
Yeah, I love Hook. Hook is one of those where it would be in my top 10, but didn't quite make my top 5. But it was a tough leave off because it is a fantastic movie. It's really, really good. For me, number 5 comes in at Lincoln. Lincoln is number 5 for me. Really, just an awesome biopic. Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, is amazing because every time he acts, he wins best actor. He is amazing in this movie. He's amazing in this role. It's just a great portrait of who Lincoln was, and the story is an awesome job as he's trying to push through. I believe I want to say it's the 14th Amendment. But trying to pass the basically the civil rights, and eliminating slavery and working on that and giving rights. And so it's really good. It is really fascinating. It has one of my favorite scenes where he is going through and debating the legality of some of the actions he had taken during the war. And I thought it was such cool reasoning and really, really fun on that front. So it's just an awesome rendition of Lincoln. And we don't have enough movies about Lincoln, frankly. And so I was glad this movie came out. Number four for me is, and I can't believe, well, yeah, number four for me is Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park, of course. I can't believe Jurassic Park is number four on my list because it's such a great movie. It's an amazing movie. Like what he was able to do in 1993 that made dinosaurs come to life in such an incredibly real manner. The film still holds up incredibly well, in some cases better than some of the sequels did. It was just such a monumental achievement. And like how many people grew up like dreaming of dinosaurs and what it would be like to see dinosaurs and meet dinosaurs and to see it fully lived out in real life, the way Steven Spielberg brought it to life in Jurassic Park is just amazing. And that film is so good, and the acting is fantastic, and the way they direct it. It was one of those movies where you see it and be like, oh man, I just saw something special. Right, 3 and 2.
Number three for me is Minority Report.
Yes.
I think Minority Report is one of the ones, like I'd mentioned before, that kind of either defined or set a course for a certain kind of movie, in this case, like science fiction. Very rapid, very edge of the seat, but also including some like real philosophical questioning about what free will is, about how far you should go to protect the society. All things that were like very, we've talked about this before, very much explored in that like mid-90s to mid-2000s era by a whole bunch of different movies. But I would argue that this is probably like, if not the most important, one of the most important movies of that particular sect of movies. And it's a wild ride. And I just think it's a great movie. That's why it's number three for me.
See, for me, I just left it off my top five, and I love this movie so much. Again, this is another one that pained me to leave off my top five. This was in theaters at the exact same time as The Bourne Identity. That was a fun summer, man. Like two genre-defining movies in theaters at the same time. And on top of which, that was during the 2002 World Cup, which had the US's best performance. And I remember going to this movie and Bourne Identity on the same night to try and kill time to wait up for the 2:30 a.m. start of the US soccer match against Mexico. So, yeah.
Yeah, that might have been the one that I woke up the house I was at, staying at a friend's house, screaming
Yeah.
when he scored.
Nice.
Beating Portugal, beating Mexico, and then I was actually home from college, so this is just a little side, working at Walmart over the summer, and I had to work the day we played against Germany, so I had a friend videotape it for me. Not tell me anything about it, and then I watched it without knowing what happened, and it was absolutely devastating.
It was devastating because we so dominated that match. We got screwed over by the refs. I mean, that was a clear
Yeah, that was
handball.
a handball, Torsten.
That was a handball. How do you not call that? It's unbelievable. I'm still upset about that.
Number two for me is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You can make an argument for any of the Indiana Jones movies. Except for the one, obviously, that we mentioned already. But to me, the reason why I chose this particular one is it's kind of the culmination of that whole first trilogy, and I think does the best at like the different adventure elements of things, has the best exploration of the relationship between him and his father. And by the way, Sean Connery is just amazing as his father. Like, their whole dynamic is hilarious.
It
I
is awesome.
absolutely love it. And I love all the first three Indiana Jones movies, very close to equally, but I could only choose one of them, I felt, for the top five. So that's why I chose Last Crusade, you at number two.
Nice. Number three for me is Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I would say I went with my head over my heart on this one because I think my personal favorite is The Last Crusade. I love that movie. But I gave it to Raiders of the Lost Ark simply because it's the movie that introduced you to one of the most iconic movie characters of all time, Indiana Jones. And that adventure, that action adventure genre, was never the same after it. Like, it's just such an amazing character. It's so iconic from the outfits, the hat, to the character. Like, it's unbelievable that Harrison Ford got two huge defining roles almost back to back. And it's really, really incredible. And the movie is great. It's fun, it's entertaining, it's action filled, but it's fascinating to see the legacy of these movies and how they still captivate people even to this day. And so for that reason, for the introduction of the character, I went with Raiders of the Lost Ark for number three. Number two for me is Bridge of Spies. And I almost went with this for underrated, but I wanted to talk about it in the top five because Bridge of Spies is without a doubt one of the greatest Cold War era movies ever. Like, again, you got Tom Hanks stealing performances. Tom Hanks and Spielberg. That's one thing that stood out to me is the combination of Spielberg and Tom Hanks really works out very well. That is a great combination. But the movie is so good and it so captivates kind of that chaotic nature of the Cold War and Tom Hanks' character trying to figure out the intense geopolitical things between like the East Germans, the Russians, you know, even what his own side's doing and trying to navigate all of that and creating like two really good characters. His character is great. And I'm blanking out on the actor's name, who plays the Russian spy that got caught. The relationship is awesome and well done, and it just so encapsulates an era so well. And the story is compelling and interesting, and you love it the whole time. So, Bridge of Spies, just really fantastic movie.
Yeah, actually, I had that pegged as your number one before we went over the list. I'm a little surprised, but my number one is Welcome to Jurassic Park. Yeah, like we talked about genre-defining movies, this is like you said, every kid's dream come to real life, as close to real life as we're probably going to get. And not only was it a huge thing when it came out, like, it spawned, we're on like the fourth or fifth version of it at this point already. Because people gravitated to it so strongly that they just keep on making more and more because people still pay to see them. Because people want more. So he really like struck into a vein here of something with this movie. And I think the directing to me in this movie really stands out because how he shot the dinosaurs, the angles that were used, the lighting that was used. There's a lot of really good choices here that border on like horror subgenre feel, that were probably a little bit bold decision making wise for a movie that's supposed to be ostensibly a kid's movie. Like, there's genuinely terrifying moments in the movie with the raptors and with the T-Rex especially. And I think that's down to the director for putting all that in place in a way that makes it believable. Because it would have been really easy to make this and make it seem stupid and corny, but it seems realistic. And that's why it was such a success.
For sure. For sure. Number one for me is Saving Private Ryan. And it's not my and it's one of those where it's like, man, it's not my favorite movie of his, but I just can't get past the achievement of what he did with this film. I mean, think more so about anything else than the best, most realistic encapsulation of perhaps one of the greatest achievements in US military history, the storming of Normandy. And what he did with that scene and bringing that to life on film is just astonishing. And to the point where, like, veterans who lived through that were getting triggered badly because of how accurately he was depicting that and just like the horror of it. And you watch that take place and you just see, like, how did they do this? Like, how did anyone do this? And I think capturing that, the courage of the soldiers in World War II, perhaps not to be outdone than what he achieved with Saving Private Ryan. And again, it's another Tom Hanks Spielberg collaboration here. But to basically encapsulate everything that defined the Greatest Generation and what they did and what they accomplished in World War II is just as fantastic. And so I think I just had to for achievement's sake, put Saving Private Ryan number one.
Fair enough.
So that's pretty cool. Like you and I, it's rare that we have that much different things when we come to this, because I think Jurassic Park was the only one that we both of us had in our list.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that. Steven Spielberg, good director. All right, we'll close out shortly with our watch list movies we've watched over the last week.
So I saw The Drama and I saw The Mummy. And The Mummy is currently second on my list of movies this year, and The Drama is currently third on my list of movies this year. So I think they're both great for very different reasons. The Mummy is an actually scary horror movie. But it's also, I really enjoyed how the story was set up, the background to it. There's a lot of Middle Eastern mythology and Egyptian stuff woven into it. And it's very authentic because they actually have like the Egyptian scenes are mostly subtitled, which in the actual original language made it just seem like a lot more realistic. And they filmed in the actual places, which also made it feel more realistic. And just overall, it was a cool, very cool retelling or different telling of the Mummy kind of idea. It's nothing like any of the other Mummy movies, so it makes sense to me that it has his name in front of it because it differentiates it. The same guy who directed the last Evil Dead movie, so he has a lot of experience with the horror genre. And this was a Blumhouse and Atomic Monster collaboration as well, which we're starting to see some more of those. So that was a fun movie to watch. And then the other one I saw was The Drama with Zendaya and Robert Pattinson. And this movie is very intense and potentially triggering for people if they have any like past with gun violence. Because the whole premise of the movie is Robert Pattinson, that they're playing like a game. His character and some friends are kind of playing a game like, what's the worst thing you ever did? And then her character comes out with that she planned the school shooting when she was in middle school but didn't go through with it. And it like completely changes everything about how he sees her, how he thinks about her. They lose friends because of it. And it's a very deep, intense exploration of how far would you be willing to go to accept the person that you say you love and want to marry? And how much of someone's past disqualifies them from being worthy of affection. And it's just against the backdrop of like, why is this school shooting thing become such just like a normal thing for us? Like, and should it spark that kind of like big reaction in us where it like the one girl like just completely disgusts her because she has a cousin who is in a wheelchair because of the school shooting. So she's like, I'm not going to talk to you ever again, basically. And there's a whole lot more than that that happens in the movie. It is very funny at times, but it's also very tragic at times. And the ending is, I like that the ending of the movie is like hopeful too. So it's really very much a character interpersonal study between the two main characters. And I thought it was really well done. Again, an A24 movie that's really well done. Seems to be, for me, a very common occurrence. So not surprised by that.
Yeah. When they're not being like too off the rails, they're very good.
Yeah.
By the way, if you haven't, check out A24's website. They have so many cool things in terms of like different movie packages or specialized things to go along with each movie, or even like special editions of each movie. They have some cool stuff that they have as part of their collections, so you should check them out. For me, I did get to see Project Hail Mary again and again, and I was so excited to see a second time because I liked the movie on first watch, but I was very caught up with, well, how are they going to do this part of the story? How are they going to do this part of the story? That whole thing you do once you've read the book first. And then the second time, I was able to just relax and put aside what I knew about the book and just focus on it as a film and what they were able to do as a film. And I just loved it so much the second time. It was really so worth seeing again. And it's an amazing accomplishment. I think one of the things that stuck out to me is in the movie, the Strat character does a karaoke session where she sings Harry Styles and Sign of the Times. And that karaoke cover reminded me both like the tone of the song and kind of like its usage in the movie, very much reminded me of the rendition of Major Tom from Ben Stiller's
Secret
Super
Life of Walt
Adult
Mitty.
Committee.
Yeah.
And that kind of cover, it was used in a similar way. The songs have similar tones and similar themes. And it was like, oh, that's really cool. I like that. So just picking up stuff like that, picking up extra little jokes or extra little things. I love the various like science joke shirts that he wears throughout the movie. They're really fantastic. And it's a thing that they just do very subtly, and it's awesome. So that was awesome again to see that again. And a movie that I got to see that I hadn't seen before was The Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey. And I had missed that in theaters, but I saw it on Netflix this past weekend. And I had really wanted to see it because I thought it was really interesting, the idea of like two kind of strangers get thrown into a scenario where they doors randomly appear on their route. They get thrown into a car together, basically, and this weirdo GPS keeps directing them to random doors in the middle of nowhere that take them into their own personal past. And I like the storytelling element of it. I enjoyed what they did with the movie. The one thing it was tough for me to buy was the chemistry between Margot Robbie and Colin Farrell. I just didn't buy it as like, because that's half of what you do with like a kind of a like a romantic drama or comedy. Like you need to feel the connection between the two characters. And it was just hard for me to buy it between Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie on this one. I don't think either one of them was at fault for it. I just think it didn't work like they wanted it to. My thoughts. All right, Rob, you got anything else?
I do not.
All right, that is the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for checking out Film for Fans. Make sure you visit filmforfans.com, like, subscribe, tell your friends. Until next time, enjoy the movies.